Amen. It is good to be here on this morning, thanking God for the many blessings that He has given each one of us. As I state when I come back after being gone for a gospel meeting, it is good to go and to hold a meeting for another congregation, but it is always good to come back home. Amen. After last Sunday, I was thinking I wouldn't have a home. That brother did an outstanding job on last week in reference to the blood. I generally play it, whoever preaches that week that I'm gone on the radio program sometime during that week. And when Brother Robert preached, the guy said, he just quickly on Monday morning told off on Brother Robert. He said, Brother Colbert only preached for about 20 minutes. He said, I don't know what to do. I said, well, we'll take care of that. But when I told them to play Brother Robert's sermon, they didn't say a word. They just played it. And then when I didn't come back on, they played it again. I mean, well, Brother Tanopoulos, y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all know who talks. Brother Tanopoulos, he did a wonderful job, job. As all men that get in this pulpit does, a wonderful job. But I want you to understand that we not only have men that can proclaim God's word, but we also have ladies, sisters that can teach God's word. And as I go through the Bible, the best examples is looking at those women, those mothers, those wives that teach not only their young, but they also teach their husbands. And if we as men, as husbands, would just stop and take a few minutes, a few seconds, hours, days, months, years, we can learn a lot. And we need to. And that is why on this morning, we're looking at the subject, a woman's worth. A woman's worth. No idea what happened, but we're going to get there. We're going to find out. But as we get to this and we talk about it, I want you to understand something. All women, do not fit what I am going to be talking about on this morning. And I would go as far as to say that it is sad that we cannot say this and that God's word does not say this about every woman. Because there have been and there are and there will be women that do not hold up their end of the bargain as being godly. And so there are men that fit that same bill. But we read there this morning at Proverbs 31, starting with the 10th verse from the ESV, it mentions an excellent wife who can find one? An excellent wife. Who can find one? King James states, a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. This word virtuous deals with showing high moral standards. High moral standards. There's a lot of people that have let their standards down, let them drop. The things that they were taught coming up, they've forgotten about those things. They've gone out into the world and they just do whatever they want to do, however they want to do it. You all, many of you anyway, you may be like I was over the last 2 or 3 weeks, haven't seen much of it, the news. There's a lot of controversy in what goes on in Washington, D.C. There's a lot of controversy what goes on here in Louisville, Kentucky. I want you to hear that definition again of virtuous, showing high moral standards. Moms have taught their children, their daughters, you find you a man or let a man find you, because the Bible says when a man finds a wife, he's found a good thing. And when you are found, you want to have a family. And when you raise your daughter, you teach her, and we're going to get to that as well, but I just want to point it out now just in case I forget or run out of time. Because I was going to give y'all some time back, but that probably won't happen. You teach her to find a man that is willing to love her and that will love her, and that you have children. Well, this showing high moral standards is something that young lady should be holding in her mind, and not when she find that husband, she go out there and she get pregnant and she say, I want to get rid of this child, I don't want it. That is not high moral standards. But that's what the world teaches. But we're not about the world. We're about God's business. And he says, this woman, he says, she is far more precious than jewels. Great value. You know, some of you men, some of us men, you know, our wives, like, you know, that little promise ring that you gave me, I want something a whole lot bigger now when I get married. No, I don't want a quarter carat. I don't want a half. I want a 2 or 3 carats. She is more precious than jewels. She don't have to have that type of stuff. Now, if you can afford it, get it for her. She's more precious than that. You should value her a lot higher than whatever that rock cost. Amen. Whatever it cost. She is more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Trust. Trust goes a mighty long way. Trust is a two-way street. Trust is something that a person must gain from another. And let me say, it is very easily lost. Amen. It has to be regained. Amen. But that's what forgiveness is all about, isn't it? Amen. And he will have no lack of gain. You don't have to worry about food on the table. But trust this, he need to get out there and work in order to have food in the house. Amen. In order for food to be put on the table. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. I remember being over my cousin's house, and this woman came running down the street, and she ran up on the steps, and She was yelling, waving her hands, yelling, "I scalded him, I scalded him." And as a little boy, I didn't quite understand what was really going on. "I scalded him," until the ambulance came by, and as she was waving her hands, saying that she had scalded him, he was in the ambulance and his arms was up in the air because he couldn't put them down because she actually scalded him. Hot water. You don't, men, let me tell you something right now. You don't go and mess with your wife when she is boiling water on the stove, getting ready to cook. You leave her alone. You don't go, that's not a time to pick a fight. But he picked one and he lost that battle. But ladies, wives, understand this. Sometimes you just have to walk away. Walk away and let him turn the water off. Because the Bible says this, a virtuous woman, okay, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And I'm not telling you to be a doormat. I'm not telling you to let a man walk over you. I'm not telling you to let a man beat you. But I'm telling you that you can walk away. You can walk away. I'm not saying that you will, but you can walk away. And that's what we have to understand, is that many times we choose to stay and fight. But we need to walk away and pray and let God take care of him, or let God take care of her, whichever the cause, because there's just not men that have had hot water thrown on them. There are some ladies that have had hot water thrown on them. But we have to understand to do what is right before God. So a woman's worth. What are you worth as a woman? What are you worth? Are you doing what God would have you to do? Or are you that woman that others can look up to? A woman that when God created in the very beginning, when he created woman, he created her as a helper, not a hater, not a hinderer, but he created her as a helper, a helpmeet. For whom? For everyone on the outside of her house? No, for that one man that was up on earth, God created one woman for him to be his helpmeet. That's not so hard to understand, is it? One woman, one man. For how long? What did Solomon say in reference to that virtuous woman? How long will she do good to her husband? All the days of her life. All the days of her life. So I know that there are some families that they break up and they're not together anymore, this, that, and the other. But the ones that are together, they're together in order to help one another out. So we find here in Genesis chapter 2, and the verse is 18. Genesis chapter 2 and the verse is 18. Now, we have to love God's word because of what the world does. And we go back and we look at God's word. And we say God's word is true. It states these things. So it put in such simple form that there's no way you can get it wrong. So then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Well, why did God say this? Well, how did this come about? It came about because God told man to name every animal that was in the Garden of Eden. And as he was naming those animals, here Adam is seeing that these two animals, what's the deal with them? A male and a female. But as he was doing this, God said, there's not a mate suitable for man. And it's not good for man to be alone. So I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. The man gave name to all the livestock and to all the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. Not one found fit for him. God did not and still does not intend man to be with an animal. Man. But it's happening. It's happening. It's sad. There was a woman that they told her she couldn't have any pets on her lease. So you know what she did? She went and married her cat. Married her cat. It's not my animal anymore. It is not even my comfort animal. This is my spouse. Sad, isn't it? God didn't create that. He didn't intend for that. The Bible says here in verse 21, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh. That rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. Hold fast to his wife. Now we're talking about a woman's worth here. A man marries a woman, husband and wife. She was made to be a helper of man. But there are so many men that are abusing that. They're using women. Whether she's your girlfriend or whether she's your wife, a man should never use a woman. I was taught in high school that when you go out and you find you an apartment or a house, you make sure that 1 week's check can take care of that rent or that mortgage. And I try to teach young men that. But you know what we do as men? We want to live above our standard. And you tell your wife, you have to go out there and get a job because of this place that I want. Not necessarily that she wants, but that I want. And I can't afford it, so therefore, you need to work. Men, we need to step up to the plate. We need to allow our wives to live in comfort, yes. But we need to make sure that we are paying the bills. And when I say bills, I'm talking about the light bill, the gas bill, the water bill, and the mortgage or the rent, the car note, and all that extra. If she wants all those things, she needs to go out and get a job. I had to put that in there, otherwise I'd get in trouble, and then I'd be hearing, you know, I can quit my job, stuff like that right there. But I don't mind. I tell all the time, you can quit whenever you want to. But remember, a helper. There are some responsibilities, yes, that the lady has to take on to as well and make sure that she does what's right. But Adam was glad to say, therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. He was good to know that this is his woman. And he said she was taken out of man, so she shall be called woman. Happy for that. God took care of man, and he still takes care of man today. But we have to understand that when we start talking about the ladies that proclaim to be godly, virtuous, that they need to be faithful. They need to be faithful. And we find here in 1 Timothy 3 here, it talks about the qualifications of elders and deacons, but it also says something about their wives. You know, some men, you know, want to be an elder in the Lord's church or want to be a deacon in the Lord's church, and a lot of times when we start looking at these qualifications, we find that the wife disqualifies them. The wife disqualifies them. You know, that's a hard thing to tell a man when he said, you know, I desire the work of an elder, and you have to look at him and you say, well, have you ever talked to your wife about this? Or, you know, I desire to be a deacon. You know, I'm doing all this. Can you appoint me talking to the elders? Can you appoint me as a deacon? Well, have you ever talked to your wife about this? She's not doing what she needs to be doing. She's not faithful. The Bible says here in 1 Timothy 3 in the verse 11, their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderous, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. That says a lot, doesn't it? You can just be a member of the Lord's church and not be faithful in all things, and your husband cannot be put into one of these positions. See, there are some things that an elder's wife, deacon's wife, must be willing to do that you can't just, you know, go and ask this sister right here and she say, I can't do it. And you say, well, you know, you're not doing what God wants you to do. Feeding people, housing people, praying for people, visiting for people. I can go on and on and on and on when we start talking about faithful in all things. Because that is what the Bible says. A woman's worth. Again, take a, you know, self-evaluation. Find out what your worth is as a woman. Find out what your worth is. And an example. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were saying, you know, I'm supposed to be able to teach my wife. Isn't that what the Bible says? And trying to convert her to the gospel, I should be trying to teach her. Well, I believe that we need to go back and look at this and find out who's teaching who here. You ever went into a congregation and seen that there were more men than women? Generally, it's just the opposite, isn't it? More women than men. Because some of the men are home, they have not obeyed the gospel, and they really don't want to obey the gospel. And there's a reason for that in some cases, that woman, that wife, is not being the example that she needs to be. And then again, it may be just the opposite. The husband may not be the example that he needs to be, but we're not talking about men on today, are we? Yes, we are. We're talking about both, men and women. It's God's word. Can't talk about hate if you don't talk about love. Can't talk about good if you can't talk about evil or heaven or hell. So it's hard to talk about a man or a woman if you can't talk about the opposite sex. So let's see what the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. It's a lot of responsibility. Taking care of your own husband. Can't take care of anybody else's husband. Take care of your own husband. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be of the hidden person of the heart with that imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Now, it's okay to dress up. But when you take all that off, who are you? Who are you? What does your husband see? A husband should see as God sees. He should see the heart of his spouse. Understanding that she is a woman, she's going to make mistakes. But within those mistakes that she makes, she still loves her own husband. She takes care of him. She, again, going back to Proverbs 31, she's not going to do him any harm. She's going to make sure that he doesn't want of anything. Anything. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children. If you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. We have to look at God's word and see what his word says. In verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. She's on the same playing field that you're on. I just want to point this out. The only difference is she can't be the pitcher. Okay? Pitcher is generally the best person on the team. I'm just saying she can't be the pitcher. But she can help you. She can be the catcher. Because that's what she was made for, to be a helpmeet. Okay? Man is the head and then the woman. We're in this thing together, though. Can't separate the two. The wife is a great influence on the family. A great example she should be to her husband. Doing all the things that God want her to do as pleasing to him. How many have thought about these things? How many have thought about these things? This is God's word. This is not opinions, nor what we feel, nor what we think. This is God's word. And he expects his word to be carried out. Expect his word to be carried out. So she has to be an example. And then what I find here as we go to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. I started out in the beginning talking about a mother teaching her daughter some standards, some great standards to live by, good moral standards, moral excellence, however you want to say it. But here we find these two ladies, a mother and a daughter, taking an interest in a son or grandson. He says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am sure dwells in you as well. Timothy had a great examples, great teachers of what was right. So we have grandmothers, we have mothers today that are teaching their children the things that are right because they are living in a right way. Who's looking? Who's looking at you? Who's imitating you? You see those little girls walking around, you know, with the high heels on and the way they're talking, the way they're trying to dress. Who are they getting this from? What are you letting them watch on television? No, I don't let my daughter watch anything like that. Where did she learn that from then? Where did she learn it from? Or she's praying and she's helping out in the house. Well, did she get that out for television? No, you're quick to say, no, she didn't. She got that from me. I told her those things. You told her well. Continue to teach her well. And just as the young men, the boys or the young men in the home, The wife can be a big impact in their lives. We're not telling the moms to treat their little boys in a you know, with kid gloves. Take the gloves off. Be hard on them. Make them learn the things that are going to allow them to move ahead in this life. Sometimes the father is just not in the picture at these single mother homes. And they say, you know, she will say sometimes, I got to be the mother and the father. No, you don't. You just be the mother.
Amen.
You be what God made you. And you teach that young man how to be a man. And some say, you can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If Lois and Eunice, some say Eunice, did it, you can do it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be here in Scripture. Teach them as a single mother. Now, yeah, you may want to get a man involved every now and then, but there are some things that you can do, and you need to do those things. Well, I need a man to teach them. No, you teach them. Pick up God's Word and you teach them. You teach them how to treat a woman. You teach them how to study the Word. You teach them these things and watch them flourish. Watch them flourish. A woman must be teachable herself in order to teach. Older women, quit allowing the younger women to teach you, and you teach them. I believe that there are some examples that have been set that have been wrong. But on the other hand, there have been some examples that have been set that have been right on the money. And they need to be. I remember, not calling any names, you may know who you are. I think the mother, the aunt, and the daughter, all of them were dressed the same. I'm like, that's... And they were dressed decent. Look good, you know? And then you have this mother, and this is no one here. You have this mother that's dressed like somebody that you shouldn't have came out of the house in that, because that's a house dress, but it's a house dress when no one else is in the house but you and your spouse. And then they got the little girl dressing just like her. That's not right. But this is what the little girl, Mama, this is a good outfit for us to wear, and you wear that outfit out in public, which you should have left it back home. But the older women are supposed to be teaching the younger women, not the opposite. Look what the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, starting with verse 1. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Teach, okay? Paul is writing to Titus here, telling him, you teach. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. To be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. The word of God may not be reviled. Now, I want you to look at that one more time, because a lot of times when you're looking at the scriptures and you're seeing these things, you just, I just can't believe that. Well, why not? It's God's word. You know, how many, you know, got these self-help books? How to love your husband, how to love your wife. And you don't even go to the Bible. And you say, well, that's what the book said. I'm doing exactly what the book said, but you're failing. Or how to raise your children. You got this book that some man has written that has never had a child. And you're listening to him. Now, we need to listen to Jesus now, okay? I just want to point that out, because everybody say, how can he speak on marriage when he was never married? Because he's God. Let us make man in our own image. We need to listen to him, because God said so. One time, two times, and then the third time in the book of Hebrews. In times past, God spoke to the heads of the household through the prophets or by the prophets to the heads of the household. But in these last days, has spoken to us through his Son. Amen. We need to listen to his word. Amen. So again, older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Now, if you've never been married, it's going to be hard for you to teach a woman how to love her husband. I'm telling you that. I don't care how many letters you have before your name or after your name. Children, teach them how to love their children. Now, everybody is not going to raise their children in the same way. And I actually told a man that one time. He had three daughters. Was it three or four? However many he had. He had all girls. And he's going to tell me how to raise my boys. I said, whoa. I went back later and apologized to him, but you have girls, I have boys. There is a difference. There is a difference. But they're still children. We need to do what's right. We need to look at God's word. And we need to understand that a woman becomes a wife, a helper to her husband. She remains faithful. Before she's married, she remains faithful. When she's married, now she's a child of God, and she's faithful. And her husband wants to be an elder or deacon, and she is faithful. So therefore, if he's, don't meet the qualifications, it's not her fault, because she's faithful. She's an example to her husband. She's an example to those on the outside, the way she treats him. She's not going to stand by and let him dog her out. No, she's going to stand up. She's not going to bust him out in public, which sometimes he might need to be, but she's not going to do that because she respects him. But when she gets him home, she goes and she does her wifely duties, whatever that is, whatever that may be, because she's an example to him. Yeah. And he may think twice before he tried to do that again, because he said, man, she's boiling that water. She's doing this. She's cooking my food. But yet she has not thrown it on him. She has not poisoned him. And that should make him say, there is a God. And I need to draw closer to him. She's impressive with her teachings of the young in the home. And then she's impressive with her teaching to the younger women. To the younger women. So we need some ladies to understand their worth and do the things that are right before God. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, that opportunity is yours to come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, having your sins washed away in the water of great baptism, rising to walk a newness of life, a new outlook on life, doing the things that are right, knowing that one day we will die and we will have to give an account of all that we've done in this body, whether good or whether bad. And maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. Confess your faults, and he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. If you're here in your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.